Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. What a great honor just to sit here and speak with Lou for that hour. And I'm just forever thankful to my girlfriends who are like, hey, you need to have Lou in studio. And I tell people this from time to time. We are just surrounded in our town by men and women, but especially women, with phenomenal stories.
Heroes.
Like, you pass them in the grocery store, you're sitting in traffic with them, like all of the things, and they are all around us. And just what a story. Like, the one thing I didn't ask is, like, do your kids and grandkids know you're just such a badass? Like, truly, do they know, like, how your life, like, came to be up to this point?
Typically, the answer is no.
Incredible.
They just look at them as mom or
incredible,
grandma.
Right? Couple stories this hour looking to pass along, not necessarily looking to make these a topic. Ghoulish Luigi Mangione fans have taken to the prison gates with cards, gifts, and dance parties outside.
Oh, yeah. You've got TikTokers, other social media influencers who live nowhere near the state of Pennsylvania who, and again, he's now been moved to New York, but when he was in prison in Pennsylvania, would drive tens of hours to get to him, or not him, but the fence of the prison and do a TikTok dance in front of the fence in support, I guess?
I don't get it. An anonymous online fundraiser has raised more than $150,000 to pay his legal fees.
They are also donating hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, into his prison account.
His commissary.
Commissary. I always think that's the word, and then I think it's not. And I don't know.
No, it is.
Prison account.
It is. when was the last time you got on an airplane? This story from the New York Post. Passengers panic as an American Airlines flight, quote, floods.
Oh, God.
In midair. Listen to this, quote, new fear unlocked. Freaked out flyers feared they'd drown 30,000 feet above the ground. They were cruising the friendly skies just as wet as sailing the high seas for passengers on the American Airlines flight from Dallas to Minneapolis.
Wait, fearing they were going to drown? I mean, being disgusted is one thing, but
water began flooding that cabin mid-air, and social media is all over it, as you can imagine, quoting here from one content creator, the in-flight movie was Titanic. How high did the water go, Sam? Do we know? It says the videos show shocked travelers rushing to escape the gush, which started seeping down the aisle toward the front of the plane due to a leak in a rear restroom.
Yeah, so to paint the picture, that's why I was very confused, and I didn't see that line when I first skimmed the story about them being afraid that they were going to drown, because absolutely ridiculous.
New final destination fear unlocked, someone wrote.
What happened was, and I didn't even know that the lavatories used water. I never really stared down the toilet on the plane when I hit that button that said flush. I always assumed that it just kind of vacuum sucked it down into the oblivion, and there we go.
Right.
But what happened was the rear lavatory, I don't know if somebody took one that was too big and things got stopped up. I'm not sure how this all...
It was an eight-week boom boom.
Yeah. Not sure how this all panned out, but for whatever reason, the water started coming back up out of the lavatory hole.
Like, so we all know during the holidays, especially if you're at someone else's house, and you are the person using the facilities when that, like, slow rise of water.
That's right.
Can you imagine being the one in that tiny little airplane bathroom when the water starts to rise?
Now, based on the details
panic
of the story, I don't think anybody was in the bathroom. I think it was just some malfunction with the way that the system was working, that the dirty liquid, we'll call it, started coming back up. And
gross.
There was a Also, Muddy Mo going down the airplane
mentioned
aisle.
On the way to Biloxi, we were on a flight. This is not a joke. It sounds like a meme or something, but it's not. We were on a flight with a priest, a chihuahua, and a gigantic bull mastiff. And then behind
definitely sounds like the start of a joke.
Behind us as we were boarding, I looked at my person and I go, there's an Ed Sheeran lookalike directly. His doppelganger is directly behind us. So then it became a priest, a chihuahua, a bull mastiff, and Ed Sheeran all on the same flight. And it was a puddle jumper. Okay. It was the connection puddle jumper. There are always these super, super tiny planes between, you know, Houston or wherever you're coming in from and Gulfport. Anyway, there was a story in the stack yesterday, I believe, that someone brought a Great Dane onto a flight.
Yeah.
And the dog had its own seat, which A, wouldn't matter to me because the dog is not going to fit on an airplane seat, number one, and is going to be so high over all of the other seats that I don't know how they continue allowing this to happen. And we said on the way to Biloxi, how are they allowing this gigantic mastiff on this plane?
Well, and if that Great Dane ever wants to lay down, he's going to be taking up all of the foot room for that entire row.
I wonder if there's photos of that.
Laying in the center aisle, he's going to be taking up like three rows worth of seats. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's from the New York Post. Passenger blasted for bringing, quote, emotional support Great Dane onto an airplane. And somebody says this blank is getting out of hand. Yes, I said the same thing when we saw the bull mastiff because the woman behind us holding the chihuahua wearing a sweater, I could hear her say to her husband, they were probably in their 60s, oh gosh, I hope we're not seated next to that couple.
Oh yeah, because those dogs are going to be going at it for the entire
that
flight.
That chihuahua looks like lunch.
Why? Since when, and I get it, there are people in my life who, if they could, would take their dog with them everywhere they go.
You guys need to see the photo. When you get home, just Google Great Dane on flight. I mean, the dog is higher when it's standing by far than like almost where your chest or head would be in a seated flight.
But why do we need to take our dog with us everywhere we go? And if it's somewhere that you feel that you need to fly, drive.
But listen to this. This site is now breeding contempt online, but both ways. Emotional support pets come in all shapes and sizes and species. But when a gigantic Great Dane accompanied its owner on a small jet for a recent flight, so this too was one of those little puddle jumpers, one cabin crew member's grimace made it clear the canine was not going to receive much love on the flight. And what you see is the Great Dane is in the foreground of the photo that the passenger's taken. And in the background, you see the flight attendant with the look on her face like, I should have chosen another career.
Why don't we just ban them all together? If you have so much social anxiety that you need to bring a dog with you on the plane, you probably shouldn't be putting yourself in a fuselage full of, I don't know, 30, 60, 120 other people.
Yeah, I agree, Sam. Great Danes, when they stand on their hind legs, I'm looking at a photo, are taller than an average adult size male.
They're big dogs, yeah.
The viral video fetched almost 5 million views from a split audience who debated whether the flight attendant overreacted or whether the dogs that can weigh between 140 and 175 pounds should have been crated beneath the plane.
Most certainly should have been crated beneath the plane. And we've seen some ridiculous stories like the emotional peacock.
But Sam, actress Holly Robinson Pete weighed in saying, oh my God, that flight attendant pissed me off with that look on her face. Sorry for the expletive. That big baby can sit next to me. No, absolutely not.
I mean, there's a group of people out there to support anything, as we've discussed already in this segment. You know, I want to see the guy because we've seen the stories about the guy down in Florida who's got like the 13-foot-long alligator as a pet. Why can't he board the plane with his emotional support alligator?
Yeah.
But the lady with the Great Dane, who would take up a lot of space, is allowed to get on that little puddle jumper.
The story goes on to say Bartholomew, a 4-foot boa constrictor, was recently found stashed away in his owner's luggage just before catching a flight out of Tampa. The scale-covered stowaway was detected during a TSA x-ray scan of the unnamed woman's bag. So people are coming up with interesting ways to get around the crackdown on the rules.
Here's how we can put a stop to it.
What?
Emotional support skunks.
Oh, God. You know it's coming. You know there's going
to
be one. There's
because it has to get to a point that it's so ridiculous that they have to ban it altogether, because you can't pick and choose what you're allowed to bring on the plane. They already do. I mean, some people have tried to get on a plane with an emotional support horse.
So we had a preemptive run do not walk last week, and then we'll wrap up our airplane conversation. My mother had said, you've got to see the movie on Netflix. It aired last Friday. The movie is called Carry On.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard from a couple of different people that it's actually really good.
And I told everyone, go home and watch it. You know how dumb this is going to be. It is a thriller. It's going to be, you know, this is not going to win an Oscar. But my mom said, let's both go home separately in our separate spaces and watch Carry On. And we did last Friday. I will tell you, it is on Netflix. It's about exactly what you think it's going to be. It is a lot of guns, a lot of drama, a lot of stress in an airport. It is set on Christmas Day, where Jason Bateman plays a bad guy, a very bad guy, not like Ozark bad guy, like very, very bad guy. And Jason Bateman tries to get a carry-on piece of luggage with some, you know, world coming to an end type weaponry inside of it, right, tries to get it through the TSA. And the lengths that he goes to wreck the TSA workers' lives to get that suitcase through, which is why it's called Carry On. I will tell you, it is worth your time if you are looking for a mindless, think like Die Hard.
Right. Similar to Die Hard, it's set on Christmas, but not really about the Christmas holiday.
We're not looking for Oscars here, but if you're just looking to blow like a minute, an hour, 50 minutes. I mean, it's maybe right under 2 hours. It's a Sam.
From the text line, think Paul Blart meets 24.
Yes. Thank you. That is perfect. Yeah. Paul Blart meets 24, although the Blart in this film is pretty good looking actor whose
What's
name escapes
Paul
me.
Blart?
No, nothing. I love Paul Blart.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, this is, yeah. it is called Carry On. We talked about it at length last week. We watched it. You know, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, it is entertaining. We will leave it at that.
Speaking of Run, Do Not Walk, so if I'm not mistaken, Yellowstone ended on Sunday. I have not seen it. I haven't seen the last two or three episodes. I caught the first three of the second half. All I know is that the reviews, people are not happy with the way that they wrapped up the show.
All my girlfriends are talking about it, and I didn't watch it. I refused to take a two-year hiatus from anything and then come back and watch it.
Do your girlfriends feel the same way?
They loved it up until, and I haven't talked to them since it ended, but they loved it up to the end. They loved it. They loved it.
Okay.
When we get back, we will update you on the drones over New Jersey. Threats of deadly force for, quote, imminent security threat, or is it an imminent security threat? Do we even know what these things are yet?
I thought it wasn't a threat. It's not an adversary. That's what they said.
We'll have an update straight ahead. We'll also deliver before 5 o'clock a Chiefs update as we head toward Chiefs Saturday. And then don't forget, we have a scavenger hunt for Dana and Parks listeners in the 5 o'clock hour. It is a surprise. It will involve all of you if you choose to participate. Children, absolutely, we want to participate. It is the most fun, cool 5 o'clock hour thing. And I'm so thrilled it came together at the very last minute that will involve art and the Dana and Parks program and a scavenger hunt for you this afternoon. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead. Okay, I want to talk to y'all out there. If you work in like more like the commercial jewelry industry, because there's this newer thing going around, and it's across the country. It's not just here in Kansas City, but it has happened here in Kansas City. I just saw it on Channel 9 just had the update. The sleight of hand jewelry thieves.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it is all over. And the FBI is actually investigating a few of these cases. One of them happens to be right here. So listen to this.
We actually had talked about a case where this happened at a jewelry
store
here in the metro last holiday season.
Okay, who are these people? This is something out of a movie. You want to talk about Carry On? They need to make a movie out of this. The FBI is searching for sleight of hand jewelry theft fugitives indicted in Kansas earlier this year. You might be asking, if they were indicted in Kansas, why are they fugitives? My guess is they were released on bond. The Kansas City Division of the FBI is asking for help to locate two wanted fugitives known for alleged sleight of hand thefts at jewelry stores. They are 53-year-old Vasil Sava and 54-year-old Anita Rostas. Sava and Rostas were issued arrest warrants back on January 31st after being charged with conspiracy to commit interstate transportation of stolen property. Those warrants were issued out of the United States District Court, District of Kansas.
Now, you remember the story that we talked about last holiday season. They said that it was a jewelry store, and if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, if I am, I apologize, near the 95th and Quivira corridor.
Oh, yeah.
We all know what's over there. And they said that it was we could not figure out what they meant by sleight of hand jewelry heist. Well, the FBI breaks it down for us.
So here it is. Officials with the FBI say Sava and Rostas, along with others, targeted multiple jewelry businesses. They would enter the stores in groups of two or more. One of them would distract or separate the employees, while another would remove, conceal, and ultimately make off with items of jewelry that had been on display.
You know, they have like the fake neck up sitting on top of the glass with the very nice diamond necklace sitting on it. Or maybe they've got the display stand sitting on the glass with a couple of different pairs of diamond earrings.
Or they ask to see something and then all of a sudden it's like, well, it's sleight of hand. Like anyone who knows how to do a really, really good sleight of hand card trick.
And then the distractor looks over, the thief nods and says, I've got the goods, and boom, they're gone before they even realize that the necklace is not sitting on that display piece anymore.
This thing has gone so far with, and you would have to like literally get really, really good at this, that in North Texas, thieves were doing the same thing with magic trick techniques to steal gold and jewelry, not just from stores, but from unsuspecting elderly residents, okay? So not just stores, but they will go right under your nose, Sam, like bump into you on the sidewalk, you know, stop and ask for directions, like whatever.
Maybe you have a coffee in your hand. They intentionally spill it on you. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Can I help you clean that up?
Listen to this. The thieves are in and out within a minute. The tactics are carefully orchestrated. They engage in some sort of chaotic display, acting distressed and desperate, hoping to lower the victim's guard. My goodness, this is so... I'm
And by the way,
intrigued. It is not okay. They need to catch these people, but I'm intrigued.
These are just two people in an entire chain of people that they are looking into as potential suspects. These two, they said they don't have any ties to Kansas City other than their alleged theft last year.
Why would they be released back in January? My gosh.
I don't think they were arrested. I think they were identified. A warrant was put out for their arrest, and these cats were long gone before they even got the chance to try to go in.
There's one case right now, Sam, where the sleight of hand thieves made off with more than $1 million in stolen jewelry. And I will tell you, in one of the cases out of Florida, the last name of one of the suspects, female, matches the last name in the case here in Kansas City. And I don't know where this group of traveling thieves is from.
Could be a family.
It appears that their names are, would you say maybe Russian, Sam? I'll show you some of the names during the break.
What is Sava?
I'm seeing that name in other places, and it's not, and there's a picture of this woman, and she's much, much younger than the Sava who is on the loose here.
Sava is Russian, Greek, Italian, potentially Romanian. And then, of course, Americans listed. Basically, any name can be
one of the
American.
Sleight of hands cases out of Florida involves stolen Rolexes. It just goes on and on. I mean, this is definitely a, listen to this. Cell phone numbers back in April when they were investigating the case out of Florida led investigators to a home in St. Charles, Missouri.
Outside of St. Louis.
Four people were located in that case, arrested, and charged with grand theft over $20,000. A couple of the suspects in that case also have warrants for grand theft over $100,000 for more jewelry thievery.
And by the way, these people are so good. I hate to say they're good. They're good at what they're doing to the point that in the FBI's release, it said they could be living in or operating in, among other states, California, Texas, Florida, Maryland, and Virginia.
Oh my goodness.
That tells me that they really don't have a lead other than the fact that there have been similar jewelry heists in those states.
All right, when we get back, men, how many friends do you have? Do you have a place where you feel open and can be honest and be emotionally vulnerable with other buddies, with maybe a woman in your life? Because statistically, we know, especially after the pandemic, men are lacking that emotional outlet. So you could pay to go away with a bunch of other men and talk about your feelings. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm saying there's probably a more cost-effective way to do it. But this is a thing, and we're going to tell you about that straight ahead.
Will they actually talk about their feelings?
Yes, in a safe space. Absolutely. 9-1-3-5-8. You could just call in here. It's a safe space. Talk about your feelings. 586-7798. We are back straight ahead on Dana and Parks. What is Johnny Rollins over right now? Can you tell, Sam, there is a big old backup. They had it listed as breaking news. We'll try to get some more information on that before the top of the hour as we head into rush hour, but it changed over right as I went to look at it. If you're in it, you know that thing was a long backup.
Some stuck in traffic trivia?
Yeah, we might do some stuck in traffic trivia later. Speaking of traffic, I do have to just share this story from last night, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you or what you would do or what you can do or should do. I was leaving Shawnee Mission Parkway on my way home early last night because we were all at Arrowhead last night for our holiday party here at Odyssey.
Fantastic event.
And so for the first time ever, I left here at 5 o'clock versus 6 o'clock. And I'm telling you right now, you commuters at 5 on the way, I don't know how you do it.
I haven't had to drive in rush hour in my entire career.
Sam, I needed an emotional support passenger.
Yeah, it was wild.
The first thing I said when I walked in, I go, have you ever driven in this town at 5 o'clock? My God,
have to drive in rush hour. My typical 15-minute drive took me 35 minutes.
I was like, what are all these people doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I leave. I'm on Shawnee Mission Parkway heading west. And, you know, I get a little bit further down the road, Sam. You're going to have to help me here because you're better with directions. But I get past the Quick Trip, past what used to be the Steak and Shake. And then there's like some condos there. There's like some office type.
So before the highway.
Before the highway. So just after the Steak and Shake.
So you're like between here and Antioch.
Yeah, almost to the car dealerships.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason I want everyone to understand exactly where I'm talking about is because at 5 o'clock, several things I know to be true. It was dusk. It was almost dark.
Streetlights were coming on.
Streetlights are on. Most people had their headlights on. The traffic at 5 was unlike any I have ever seen at 6. It was just bumper to bumper to bumper. But also,
standard rush hour.
Shawnee Mission Parkway is essentially a highway.
Yeah.
And even though you're supposed to drive maybe 45, people, if they can get up to 55 or more, will do it. And so I'm just past the Steak and Shake. And I look over to my right, and there is an elderly gentleman with a cane, older black gentleman with a cane, with the look on his face like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. Pedestrian.
Like he's about to try to cross Shawnee Mission Parkway.
He is going to cross Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Which, by the way, is very common in that area. It happens all the time when I'm driving
to work. Sam, I'm watching this in front of me thinking, do I honk? He is going to Frogger himself to death on Shawnee Mission Parkway. So I watch him, and you know there's a look on someone's face when they're contemplating, do I dart into traffic, do I not? And he's kind of watching the cars go by watching, and then there's a little bit of a break, and I can see, oh my God, he's going to do it. And so he is, again, he has a cane, Sam. He starts kind of hobbling.
I don't think there's going to be any darting going
hobbling,
on.
Hobbling, and he makes it to the center. There is no center median right there where I'm talking about.
Right.
It is just zoom, zoom,
it's
zoom, traffic
lane.
One way, zoom, zoom, zoom,
yeah.
Another. And there is a turn lane. He is now standing in the turn lane, waiting to then dart across the other side where traffic is now coming at him eastbound.
Right.
So I just passed the pedestrian. He is on my left. The traffic is zooms. There's no way I can stop. I didn't know what to do. So I look up in my rearview mirror, like bracing myself for the eventuality that is going to be this man's death. I just knew it.
He's going
to
be struck. Yeah.
I knew it. And the traffic coming in the opposite direction, there was way too much traffic for him to go.
And they weren't going to stop.
They weren't going to stop.
Nobody's courteous anymore.
My lane had started to slow down a bit to the point that I was really intently kind of up and back and up and back looking in my rearview mirror to see that this guy was going to make it across. I see a short break in the traffic coming in the eastbound lanes. And I mean by short break, Sam, I mean like 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, then there's another car. And I thought, oh my God, that is the break in the traffic and he is going to try this again. And sure enough, I'm looking at my rearview mirror. As soon as the one car passes,
yeah,
here he goes.
Taking off.
And the car that was coming up right behind the last car, God, was probably going 60 miles an hour.
And you just have to hope and pray that they're paying enough attention that they're going to slow down so this nice man can make it across the street.
They did not. I watched. Someone was looking out for this man. Because let me tell you what happened. Some random car decides to turn and dart out in front of the speeding car that would have hit this man, forcing that car to slow down. Somehow this guy just makes it across.
Wow.
And I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, it's sad, but there are pedestrian struck accidents here and obviously killed all the time on I-35, on 435. I don't count Shawnee Mission Parkway any differently because it's still highway speeds. It was still dusk, and he was walking with a cane.
I went down to Knuckleheads last Saturday night for a Christmas disco show. Yeah, sounds silly. It was awesome. And I took 71, and it was definitely dark out.
Yep.
It was like 8 o'clock, I think, and there were 3 separate people. And I took 71 all the way from 435
yep.
to Knuckleheads. There were 3 separate pedestrians just walking across the highway.
Around what numbered street? Like 55th? Like
the first
Gregory?
One was up towards the southern end. So it was like around Bannister. But
what makes no sense on 71 is you might have to walk a little bit, but there are clear stoplights.
Spaces where, that you can cross. Yes.
Where a pedestrian should cross. Where he was crossing, there is nowhere to safely cross there. Nowhere.
The second was down by Gregory. And then the third, you know, when you take that last curve before you get to downtown, it's like 8 lanes wide or whatever. It was right there. And there were people flying around that curve. You know, the speed limit's only 45. They were going like 70. And I was like, God, this guy's lucky that he made it all the way across.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, you guys make fun of me because I'm a serial. You think I'm a serial, you know, 911. You know, I'm a crime observer, and I will, from time to time, when I observe crime, call it in.
You call more than most.
My first thought, Sam, was, because I thought we were in Mission. It gets a little confusing down here. It's either Overland Park or Mission. My first Merriam. Thought was, do I look for a non-emergency number? Then I'm going to cause a wreck looking for the number to call. And then what would I say to the dispatcher that an elderly man with a cane almost just got hit by a car going that way? And my assumption is at some point he's going to return back from whence he came.
So the best that you can do is be courteous when they're trying to cross in front of you. Turn your hazards on, slow down. And then after that, it sounds horrible, but
right?
Look away and hope for the best. I mean, you don't want to see the tragedy when it happens, but
oh,
you,
God, Sam,
you can't
stop
the other vehicles.
I was so clenched looking in the rearview mirror because I just knew he was going to get hit. And I can tell you the exact car that was going to hit him. Like
now,
when there was that break in the traffic, then another car comes popping up over going 55. I thought, there it is. That's the car that's going to kill him.
Even having your hazards on, if you're in the opposite lanes, will help because it will draw attention to something going on. Because people are so zombied when they're driving these days that they're not paying attention. But if they see the flashing lights, even if it's just you with your hazards
right.
on in the opposing lanes, in the opposite lanes, they will pay attention and they might see him and they might break.
What I can't understand, not that it matters, I have no understanding at that hour where he would have been coming from or to. Those are like little, they're not even apartment complexes. I don't even know what to call it there. There's like a couple of two-story, I think one of those places is where you go to pee if you get like a DUI. They're like these nondescript medical sort of.
There's a barber shop over there.
But very few of those places would have been like hopping at 5 o'clock last night in the dark. You know, it's not like it's a Target or something, or a grocery store.
Now, the two nearest places to cross with a crosswalk are like an eighth of a mile
yes,
away.
Toward the Krispy Kreme, yeah. Toward the highway.
Right.
So anyway, I just had to share that story. My God, if you're a listener, I'm glad you're okay. Please don't ever do that again. I didn't call. What am I going to say to a dispatcher? This is what I just saw. If he tries it again, going back the other way, he's going to be killed.
As horrible as it sounds, like I said, you be as courteous and helpful as you can when it's you that's involved. But outside of that, just pray for the best.
You know, yeah. And then, I mean, you're going to ruin somebody else's life. That car that was popping up over the hill, that's probably someone just trying to get home from work. And then you look up and there's a guy in a cane, you know, trying to play Frogger across Johnny Mission Parkway. Buddy, come on.
You can't fix risky.
913-586-7798. Phones are ringing. Did you almost hit this guy? 913, who's calling? 586-7798. We're back with much more. Stick around in the 5 o'clock hour. We have a scavenger hunt. And I promise that scavenger hunt for our listeners will not take you to any place dangerous where one would have to cross a roadway on foot. I promise you that. We're going to have a whole lot of fun in the 5 o'clock hour. Straight ahead on Dana and Parks. So we're talking a little bit about this men's space retreat, and we will end the hour with this. It is called Every Man, but not spelled every. It's spelled Every, E-V-R-Y, Every Man. It is a weekend giveaway in the Berkshires of Massachusetts, and around 50 men gather to open up about the struggles that men often bury, struggles like loneliness. You remember last year, U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Murthy declared loneliness a national health epidemic. Remember we talked about this, that loneliness can actually pose health risks as deadly as smoking. And we know about half of U.S. adults say they've experienced loneliness a whole lot, as a matter of fact, since the pandemic, right? So they talked to one of these participants from Connecticut who went to this Everyman retreat. They just used his first name, which, what does that tell you? I would like to not be identified about talking about my feelings. He did the interview in silhouette.
Just call me Jim.
They called him John.
Can you change my voice?
He is John, a participant from Connecticut. And he says, we just went and we could be raw and real with each other. As men, we've traditionally been put in a box and given a very small range to express our emotions. There are a lot of men walking around, not necessarily overtly a loner, but feeling very lonely.
Oh, absolutely.
1 in 7 men say they have no close friends. And I know I'm right about this. It is usually the women in their lives, if you have a woman in your life, it is usually the women in your life that, I don't want to say controls the social calendar, but that manages or nudges along. You know, why don't we go have dinner with the so-and-sos Friday night? You know, and so that's not even a real connection for a man that you then go out and cultivate and you have friends that you can go out with. Or
I jokingly call
play
my
pickleball
girlfriend
with.
My social calendar all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
it's real.
It has gotten so, I don't know, prevalent that they are now offering these men's retreats where you can go and feel like you have this safe space to dump all your stuff out. Girls do that, by the way, like twice a week, either in a phone call to our moms or to our girlfriends, or we go have a wine night or we go have dinner and bleh, we get it all out. And then that's fine. And in a way that I don't think men traditionally probably have ever done.
Well, but I think that also just it's a stereotype almost that men aren't supposed to be trying to come up with a different term here. So I'm not insulting. Needy.
But see, I don't see that as, I understand what you're saying, Sam. I don't see like having an outlet to discuss what's going on in your life as needy. And if
if a man is more willing to talk about his emotions and the problems that he is having, he is seen as a needy guy. I am very open about stressors that I have in my life with my friends often. And the facial reactions that I get are like, well, I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm like, okay, never mind. We'll move on.
Listen to this. I'm going to reread this sentence. Because even in the language he's using here, you're starting to see there's an issue. He says, as men, this is passive language, you guys. Listen to the passive language here. As men, we've traditionally been put in a box and been given a very small range to express our emotions. That sentence even bothers me because it makes it sound like the man speaking there doesn't have any control over his life, that I have been put in this box and I have been told we cannot express our feelings. And aren't we better about that now? Like, as a mother to two sons?
No.
Oh, my
gosh. And it's most certainly.
We're supposed to be talking and oversharing and all of those things with our boys to make them emotionally intelligent. And has this not gotten better?
It's societal pressure. You have to be tough. You have to put on the front, and you can't let those certain negative things impact you. And when you discuss them and when you bring them up and when you put light on them, it is, for whatever reason, frowned upon. I talked about my body dysmorphia a while back on the program, and I got a lot of random pushback for that because it's just something that, like, why are you talking about it? Why keep it to yourself?
Oh, my. Okay. That makes me mad.
It's just the way that it is.
But it's not. It shouldn't be. We should be normalizing those conversations.
I don't care. I'm open to talk about it. I honestly talk about my feelings probably to a fault. But I was raised with a mom and a sister who were very supportive of that, who definitely talked about their feelings all the time. And so I think that it's healthy to get those feelings out there and to express yourself. But for whatever reason, it's not seen as manly.
I'm trying to figure out how much I'm looking at this. Just a bunch of men like hiking up a mountain, like literally and figuratively. I'm trying to figure out how much this costs to go to one of these weekend retreats.
Where you
get it all out, which the problem with going to a weekend retreat, and there's going to be a cost involved in that, and they've all got their first name only on their name tag, which, again, gets us right back to why do we have to be, I don't know, you're not in witness protection. Like, you should be able to say, this is my name is Sam Stevie, and I've got these issues. But they're going to leave that retreat and then go back to the same space where they don't feel like they can talk about these things. And it just continues.
See, and I'm someone who's open and willing to talk about these things, and I would never go to this retreat. You couldn't pay me.
Why?
Because I, to be honest, don't care.
To share with just like random other dudes?
I'd rather just go on with my life, and if there's something that I'm struggling with, I'll talk to my friends or my girlfriend about it and go on with my day.
I'm happy that there is this outlet, and if men have the money to spend and want to do this, like, I'm actually, that's great. But I just don't think that it cures the base root problem where when you leave that weekend, you're going to come back feeling recharged and refreshed and I got a bunch of stuff out. But now I'm going to go back into my box and not feel like I can talk about this with my buddies kind of thing, right? I don't know. We'll bring this back when Scott gets back. I mean, let's be honest. He's got problems.
He's not even here to defend himself.
If you want to look it up, it's called Everyman.
It's a stigma. I don't know how we get over it, but it's
without the second
there.
E, Everyman is the name of that retreat. And I hope you find your person that you feel like you can talk to and be vulnerable with and do all the things. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to lighten it up and do something we have never done on this program. We are going to launch a scavenger hunt for our listeners for something that's going to be so cool, and it's free and it will not put you in danger. The children can play along and you are going to love it. I promise you that. We're back with much more and our mystery guest straight ahead.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.